The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Good morning, everyone. As you could tell, I am not Pastor Byron, so if you came here to see him, he is on vacation. So I'm here this week to share with you while he is away, and I am thankful to be here with you. Though the last few weeks, if you've been here or tuning in online, in the last few weeks, Pastor Byron has been going over our church mission statement, the fact that we exist to glorify God. And we do that by delighting in God, by declaring Jesus, at the life-saving message of Jesus, and by discipling other people. And so when we come here to worship on Sunday mornings, we come here and we think about, we come to worship, we come to fellowship with one another, we come to hear the word of God and to sing songs to him. And we think about these things for what reason? Hopefully you're coming here to learn more about God and his word. And if you have your Bible today, and I hope you do, go ahead and turn to Romans 8. That's where we'll spend a lot of our time, though we will be bouncing around, so have your fingers ready. All right, so I want to ask you a few questions before we go any further. What we're going to be talking about is what our mindset is, what our mind is set on, what our thoughts go to throughout the day. We all have thoughts constantly running through our heads throughout the day. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you sometimes just feel stuck, like, man, I am trying to do good. I am trying to do the right thing. I am trying to obey God's word, but I fail. I struggle. Or do you find yourself lonely, sad, maybe depressed, full of anxious thoughts, and allowing these things to take over your mind and control your actions and your emotions? Do you feel like you disappoint others? Do you feel like, I don't even know why I'm doing what I'm doing, why I go to work, why I go to church, why I even have friends? Just struggling. We all have struggles every single day of our lives, and our minds are just constantly going, constantly going, constantly going. If you're anything like me, and most of us probably are because this is how we're made, we have a constant thought process in our heads. But what we think about matters and affects. Absolutely, 100% affects our emotions and our behaviors. Well, when you do go to the Bible, let's say you go, okay, well, I'm going through this issue, this struggle. Let me look at what the Bible has to say. Are you merely looking for, okay, do this, don't do that? Are you looking at it as a list of the old acronym, basic instructions, Bible basic instructions before I leave earth? Are you looking at this as an instruction manual only? Are you looking at it, maybe you look at it and you go, man, this is a lot of judgment and condemnation. There's not a whole lot of hope in there. I don't want anything to do with that. Perhaps it's just to you history or made up stories. You know, a lot of our students will go off to college and they'll be told by these really smart professors who don't believe in God that these are just made up stories and fairy tales. Is that what you think? I mean, in the core of your being, I'm not surface level, okay, we all come to church, we're doing the right thing. We believe in God, yes, we believe in the Bible. But deep down inside, when you're hurting, when you're struggling, when you're tempted by sin, and typically those temptations are things we like, right? Nobody, the enemy doesn't serve up a plate of trash and say, here, don't you want this? We're not tempted to that. It's things that we want. And so when we are confronted with those things, do we really in our core believe that this is God's word to us and that it has hope and that it has the power to change us? Not just in our everyday behaviors, but in our eternity, in our spiritual lives. So I want to walk through this with you today, how the Bible can change your life, can change your mindset, how it can change your view of God and your life, and how you can live a victorious life with God, believing truth and not believing the lies the world is offering us constantly. So it's time to reset our mindsets. Let's go ahead. I'm going to just, for context purposes, read the entire passage we're going to be covering, Romans 8, 1 to 17. So turn to Romans 8. We're going to start at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. That was a lot, I know. We're going to dig into it deep. We're going to go verse by verse and take a look at this. Paul starts off with, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The world wants you to believe that every failure, every time you mess up, that God is condemning you. The world wants you to believe that God is this wrathful God full of judgment and condemnation, and everybody's going to burn in hell. Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. First of all, I want you to know that Paul here, context is very important, is speaking to believers. He is absolutely speaking to believers here. Take a look with me at Romans 7, 4 to 6. We're going to be bouncing around Romans a little bit, so be ready. He says to the Roman church, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to one another, to him who has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we are living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which has held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. In other words, believers, you are no longer to continue walking the way you once walked. The way you once walked equals death. This is going to be a recurring theme. The way you walked in the flesh is death, but now walk in the Spirit. So I have to pause here. I have to absolutely pause because I can't, in good conscience, believe that every person in a room this size has surrendered their life to Christ, is a believer, or online, if you're watching online. I have to pause. Because if I don't pause here and I give you all these great promises and truths and you believe that for yourself, but you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't count. You're lost. It doesn't matter for you. It's behavioral modification. If you do things to please God, oftentimes we think we're checking off the list. We're going to church. Check mark number one. Thank you, God. That's my favorite, right? Okay, I did a good thing for somebody. Check mark number two. That's not how God operates. So I want to take a look at what it means to be in Christ before we start talking about the promises given to us here when we are in Christ. Some of the scariest verses in all of the Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? So this sounds like people that are following Jesus. They're walking with Jesus. They're prophesying in Jesus' name, casting out demons in Jesus' name, doing many great works in Jesus' name. And what does he say to them? What does he say to them? Verse 23. And I will declare to them, Jesus speaking, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. These people here thought they were doing all the checkbox, all the good things, all the right things, and were good with God. But he said, you never surrendered to me. You never gave your life to me. You never had a relationship with me. You know, back in the garden, the relationship was broken. It was severed. Jesus restores that relationship. And God wants to have a real relationship with you. We don't just come to church to just go to church and because that's what we always did. I genuinely want each of you to want to walk and grow and have a real relationship with Jesus. This is like eternal things here. This is not just, okay, this is good for today and tomorrow and okay, I'm living a good life. Church family, my heart hurts for you who are struggling and going back into the same things over and over and over again. Christ wants you to surrender to him. There's hope for you in that surrender. Romans 5, 6 to 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you are separated from him, he died for you. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Jesus' death and burial and resurrection reconciles you to God to have a relationship with him. You can have a real relationship with the living God. This is the real deal. How do we do this? I feel like, well, how do I do that? How do I give my life to Christ? Romans 10. I'm going to read verses 9 through 12, I believe, or 13. Yeah. Romans 10, starting with verse 9. Paul writes, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And say you might be, maybe, you will be. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and be saved. This is good news. This is news that we don't have to be glum about, that we don't have to have downcast faces, that we could get up every morning with hope and excitement that, what have you got for me today? For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a genuine, true belief. You're confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. When you make him Lord of your life, you're saying, you are my king. I surrender to you. I am going to live my life for you in subjection or submission to you. That means my will, not first. I know that sounded weird. I do not put myself first. God is first. That's what he wants from you. We just quoted Romans 12. I don't even have that in my notes, but he says to submit yourselves to, he says, present your bodies, to submit your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. It's a surrender. It's a full surrender. That means, how many decisions do we make on a daily basis, moment by moment basis, that have nothing to do with God? We just do it for ourselves. He wants you. He wants all of you. He wants every bit of you, every thought, every feeling, every action. He wants it all. Thankfully, that verse goes on and says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to talk about how beautiful the brain is soon and how amazing God is to give us that. He is so good in how he equips us. So, confess Jesus as Lord. Submit to him as King of your life. Believe in the resurrection. We do not serve a dead God. All the other world religions, religions of the world, serve dead gods, little g gods. They're not real. We serve a living God. He's alive today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is alive. So I want to focus on these verses. We're going to go ahead and we're going to read verses, read these verses from 4 to 9 again. But what you set your mind on determines how you walk out your life, the things that you do. Our minds are extremely powerful. But we have, as we see, a little look into the future here, something far greater than even that. We are not left alone. Verses 4 to 9 of chapter 8. I'm going to actually backtrack to the middle of verse 3. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that, Pastor Byron loves talking about conjunctions and transitional statements and all this grammar and stuff, in order that, this is why, the righteous judgment of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I want you guys to see this back and forth here. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, again, talking to believers in the audience of the original text here and online, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, notice that, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So let's take a look at, we're going to go on another little journey into Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. I'm going to hit some verses, starting with verse 1. So Paul is going through this whole thing in Romans, in these portions, in 6 and 7, we're going to see that, we're going to see that Paul wasn't perfect. Paul claimed to be a Jew of Jews, Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. As to zeal, he persecuted those who claim Christ. And then he had this amazing transformational experience where he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and the Lord saved him. And now he's completely sold out and radical for Jesus. But yet, he still struggles. I'm thankful that the Lord gives these things to us so we could see them and we could see what he tells us that we ought to do as well. So he's talking about in chapter 5 the grace of God, that Jesus has saved us. He has given us his Son, and by faith we could be saved. And then he goes in chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, believer, are we to continue and keep making excuses and saying, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. But we keep doing it over and over again because we really like it. I've been there. I'm not even going to pretend that I haven't been. I've been there. I'm sure many of you have been as well, if you're not now. Just continuing and just trusting the grace of God that, yeah, I'm sorry this time. I know I shouldn't do it. But just this one more time. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? For we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We're to walk in newness of life, not to be living in our deadness, in our sin, in our past, in our flesh. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. He has died to give us freedom. I'm going to say that again. He has died to give us freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin and death and the law, to live for him. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Praise God. But why do we keep doing it? We like it. It's the passions that are at war within us. James talks about that. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also, here are the challenges by Paul in Romans 6. For you also, believer, brother and sister in Christ, must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Thinking, my goodness, this sounds like a whole lot of do's and don'ts, right? A whole lot of behavioral modification, but there's power. And we have it available to us believers. We are not left alone in this flesh to fight the war by ourselves. He says, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought to death from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. I have often thought to myself, if I'm in the midst of doing something that I shouldn't be doing, right? And it's utilizing my hands or my eyes or my body in some way, and I physically think of, oh my goodness, like this is an instrument that I'm using not for righteousness, but for death. I need to use what God has given me. He says to present your bodies a living sacrifice. I need to use my body, my tools. You know, our greatest tools that we have are our hands. We could do so many things with our hands. But we could use them to bless and to encourage and to strengthen people and build them up. Or we could use them to kill and destroy. Right? So what you use your body for is really showing where your heart is. For sin will have no dominion over you, believers, since you are not under law, but by grace. And now I want to show you Paul's struggle. He's given all these great commandments to people. He's telling them all these actions to do and to not do. And then he says in chapter 7, and we're actually going to start in verse 15, not 21. Paul wrote, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Can you relate? Can you feel that? I do. "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." So get that. Paul is saying in his flesh, he's warring. He's fighting. He has the desire to do what's right inwardly, but he does not have the ability to carry it out. We do not, in our own flesh and in our own strength, have the ability to do all these things. I want to encourage you with that. But wait, there's more. "For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I do what is right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." And here's his cry. And this has been my cry, and I'm sure it has been yours and might be yours today. "Oh, wretched man that I am." When we see the holiness of God and how great he is, we're left with, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can save me? Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And that's where we pick up in chapter 8. We have one more verse in 7. "Thanks be to God." This is the preface, "for there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." So we are at war. We are at war between our flesh and our spirit as believers. We are at war. Again, if you have not surrendered your life to Christ, you're in the flesh. That's where you are. You need to get in the spirit. You need some Jesus in your life. We are at war. I'm going to read to you a Craig Groeschel quote that really stood out to me. He said, "The battle of your mind..." I'm sorry. I went ahead of myself. Look at that. Okay. Let's take a look at the comparison slide. Next slide over there. Thank you. Can you all read that? I printed myself a little cheat sheet because it's hard for me to read. All right. I want you guys to see this. And those of you that are in my class, How to Study the Bible, you'll know that I get excited when I see repetition of words, when I see things like comparisons, contrasts. This is a great contrast here in Romans chapter 8, verses 4 to 9. He says that the mindset on the flesh will walk according to the flesh, and the law will not be fulfilled in you. Yet the mind who walks according to the Spirit, the law is fulfilled in you. He says in verse 5, "Set not your mind on the things of the flesh, set your minds on the things of the flesh, and you will live according to the flesh. But if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you will live according to the Spirit." Do you see this back and forth? Mindset on the flesh is in the flesh. A mindset on the Spirit is in the Spirit. Verse 6, "If your mind is set on the flesh, it is death." Ooh, that sounds fun, doesn't it? Sounds like what we all want, right? We want some death in our lives. Let's keep going in the flesh. No, the contrast, "The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace." Who wants life and peace instead of death? All right. We want life and peace instead of death. Absolutely. So it continues on 7 and 8. The mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit. It cannot. In the flesh, it cannot please God. Verse 9, the mind set on the flesh does not have the Spirit of Christ. It does not belong to Him. This is how we can know if we're in Christ. Is the Holy Spirit in your life nudging you, telling you, dummy, don't do that? Change your what you're doing. Change your mind on that thought. Correct that. Verse 9, you, believers, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Isn't that good news? We can, though, ignore and suppress and those nudges, those urges from the Holy Spirit, because again, it's our desires, it's our what we like in our flesh that we want. And so we can very easily go, yeah, I shouldn't, but man, I just want to one more time. This is war. Those of you that served in the military, you know when you train for war, it's no joke. And the adage is that you will fight how you train, or you train how you will fight. So when we go to train, we're not going and just, you know, joking off, joking around and goofing off and be like, ha, 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 bang, bang, you know. We take it seriously. And they simulate things in these times when we go on field exercises and things like that, that amplify your adrenaline, get your stress up so that you can feel like you're really in a situation. To prepare your mind, to prepare your body to fight the way you train. Because when you get into the thick of things, and praise God I never was, for those of you that were, thank you. You want to do what's right. You want to do exactly what you were trained to do. And if you did it the way you're supposed to when you train, it kicks in. It's like second nature. Your training just, boom, goes into effect. This is all part of how God made us. God has given us a beautiful brain. Oh, I think now we're at the Craig Rochelle quote. I'm all over the place with my slides. Okay. Craig Rochelle said, most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. I want you to hear that again. Most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. Some of you are thinking you're crazy. You're crazy, John. I'm going to show you how our minds work, how our brains work. Now, okay, so this is going to be a very small understanding of how our brains work. Let's go ahead and see the beautiful brain, God's design. All right, that's not really what it looks like. It might be the shape, but that representation there, like a circuit board, is pretty cool to me because this is how our brains work. I'm going to give you a little bit of a brain lesson here. Those of you that have taken more than I have in school and understand the brain at a much deeper level, bear with me. I'm keeping it simple today. I want to tell you this, first of all. This is important. You are not stuck where you are. Hear that again. You are not stuck where you are. We think, man, I'm just stuck. This is the way I am. I'm a very anxious person, or I'm very stressed, or this bothers me, or that bothers me. Or this is just weighing down heavy on my life. I can't help it. You are not stuck. God has given you a brain that is far more powerful than any computer on this earth that we could develop. Far more powerful than anything that you could imagine. You are not stuck. So what happens is, in the brain, you see all those little pathways, and you can see them in a normal picture of a brain. You see all those little channels and stuff. Brain works on neurons. So neurons pass and fire and go through different pathways like a circuit board. So like imagine, you know, from point A to point B, you know, you're firing off these neurons and making these connections. And these neurons create pathways in your brain that if you pictured maybe muddy ruts, you know, ruts on a muddy road, or even just ruts on a well-worn-out dirt road. That's kind of what it's like. And the more you travel in a certain way, the more deeper, the more defined they get, the more you get stuck in those ruts. But God made our brains in a special way. He made it what's called plasticity or neuroplasticity. It's the ability for it to be molded, shaped, and changed. They used to believe that our brains stop developing and stop changing when we stop growing. But they've discovered that that's not so. And this is all to the glory of God, people, that He has made our brains in a way that we can change those ruts, we could change those pathways, we could make them different. I was sitting and preparing for this at our kitchen table yesterday. I glanced outside the windows and I saw, it just jumped out at me, this worn out path on our grass from the house to the camper. I don't even think we all walk the same way, the same path. Like, I really feel like I change it up a lot. But yet, there's this worn out path that's clearly defined. I mean, my grass is mowed. It's not like I have, and I've been stomping down grass. There's this clearly worn out path. I could continue taking that path, or I could choose to take a different path and create a new pathway. That's how our brains work. That's how our brains work. We have the ability to set our mind on different things. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. We have the ability to change our thought processes and what we're focused on, what we're struggling with. So how does this relate to us spiritually? Paul struggled, chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am. How does this relate to that daily battle, that daily struggle? Most often in our lives, we have temptation. We have to sin, sickness, death of a loved one, anything. And we have what's called automatic thoughts or technically negative cognitions. Okay, that's a fancy word to say my brain automatically thinks of something. Most often, we don't even realize it. But what our brain thinks in that initial moment, oh my goodness, I did not do this one thing. I am such a loser. How stupid can I be to do this or to not do that? I'm such a disappointment because I let my friend down. Whatever it may be, that's an automatic thought. Is that true? We have to identify what's true. This is how we change those pathways. Identify what's true, and we focus on that. So I like to call that stinking thinking. We all do it. Every one of us has what's called stinking thinking. It's an easy way for you to remember those terrible thoughts that you automatically think of, and everybody. And what happens is when we think those things, we do what's called ruminate on them. We think about them some more. Next thing you know, you don't even want to get out of bed. Because, hey, I'm just a failure. Why should I continue on? Stinking thinking will tear you down. Will just totally change how you feel, which changes how you behave. And you have to jump in and change that somewhere. So these automatic thoughts, sadness, shock, anxiety, anger, to give in to the temptation and sin, this all affects, and it's this cycle of behavior, thoughts, emotions. It's just this never-ending cycle that just continues on. But we have to stop it. We have to inject truth in there. Let's read Romans 8:4-9 again. Yeah. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So Paul's telling us what we set our minds on determines how we're walking. Do you see it? It's really clear. For the mind that is on the flesh is death, but the mind that is on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Set your minds on the Spirit, on the truth. You know, I just looked throughout Scripture, and there are so many over and over and over and over again verses about how we can use our brains, the God-given gift of our brains, to set our minds on Him, to focus on Him, to stop focusing on the things of the world, to stop focusing on the junk all around us, to stop focusing on our feelings and what we think we are and who we think we are. Our false thoughts equal a focus or a mindset on the flesh. We just keep thinking about the flesh. And we need to stop. We need to start focusing on the Spirit here. I'm going to read some verses to you that you do not have on the screen. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Paul wrote, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God to take every thought captive to obey Christ." So, first thing we need to do is take notice of what those negative thoughts are. Actually stop and ask yourself the questions. What am I thinking? Like really, like what am I thinking at this moment? And is that true? And the thing is Paul says to take those thoughts captive, but you can't put them in thought jail until you've actually identified them and got hold of them. So imagine there's a criminal on the loose. He's not in captivity. The police have to catch him first, identify him, and then put him in jail. Identify those stinking thinking, the false thoughts, the negative thoughts, the things that are not true in your life, and take them captive. Then correct them with the truths of God's word. This is where God begins to show us how empowered we are as believers. He has given us his word. He says, stop focusing on the negative. Oh, I wasn't invited to such and such. They must not like me. Is that true? Maybe they forgot about you. Well, that'd be terrible, huh? Nobody likes getting forgotten about. Maybe you just didn't get the text. You know, they sent it, but for some reason, you know, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, whoever you have, didn't go through. Oh, I guess that wasn't true. Identify them and focus on God's word. So Colossians 3:1-2. Paul again writes, "If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind," see that again, "set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." So when you're walking through your daily life and things are flying at you and you're having all these automatic thoughts, take them captive and set your mind on things above. Set your mind on, this takes practice. So for me to create a new pathway to my camper, can I just walk on it once? Twice? Come on, three times. No, probably a lot more than that. I didn't even know we made a pathway. My whole family's going to go home and look and go, oh yeah, he's right. I didn't even know we created a pathway to there. But we did. We got that repetitive action. We got to continue reinforcing that which is good and denying that which is false. Philippians 4:8-9. "Finally, brothers," again talking to believers, "whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." How many movies have you watched that are not true, lovely, honorable, pure, commendable, excellent before God? How many Facebook feeds, Instagram reels, or whatever have you watched? How many things have you done that are not these things? Brother and sister in Christ, I'm speaking to you. Think on these things. Paul tells us, if it's true, if it's honorable, if it's just, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's commendable, if it's excellent, if it's worthy of praise, Set your mind on those things. Actively set your mind on those things. What you have learned and what you have received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Anybody play sports? Takes practice. You don't just get up and you're like a star player right away. It takes practice. Practice these things. This is like really super practical stuff here. And the God of peace will be with you. There it is again, peace. And the God of peace will be with you. When your automatic thoughts are negative, self-defeating, or sinful, refocus your mind on the promises of God and on memorized scripture and on the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Focus on those things. Look, I, in fact, was in my time getting ready for this sermon, did a lot of reading, listened to a few things about the brain specifically to get some more understanding. And this one person was saying about how, you know, she every morning spends time in the Word of God, and she's a young mom, and so sometimes that's hard. But I know some of you are like, oh, I'm a night reader. I'd rather read at night. But I want you to hear this because this really spoke to me. And I do spend time in the morning because I want to set my day in a certain way, in a certain path. But she said, if we go to this first, notifications, news, feeds are going to shape our mind for the day. But if we go to this first, now the truth of God's word is going to shape your mind for the day. And so on those busy mornings, when even though she tried to get up earlier and earlier and earlier, and the baby kept getting up earlier and earlier and earlier, and it's like, come on. She said, I'll even just do the verse of the day on the Bible reading app. And just on those days that I know I can't sit down and just spend that time with Jesus, she said, I'll read that one verse and just meditate on it. Spend time soaking in it, even while she's taking care of the baby. We have no excuse, none of us. So can't say I don't have time. You could read and meditate on one verse while you're going through your morning. But the point is this, set your mind on those things that will change your life for the better, for godliness, for spiritual growth. There's a Charles Stanley quote that made sense to me. It said, to walk in the Spirit is to live moment by moment in dependency upon Him, sensitive to His voice, and in obedience to Him. That's that nudging voice. If you are in Christ, look, I had a lot of years. Some of you don't know me. Some of you do. Some of you have heard my testimony. Some of you haven't. I had a whole lot of years. I gave my life to Christ at 12. And then I had a whole bunch of years where I just lived in the flesh. I walked in the flesh. I did what I wanted to do. I knew the whole time what I was doing was wrong. And the Holy Spirit kept nudging me. Stop. Stop. Change. Repent. Turn. Walk with me. I know. I will. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And just kept doing it. And even in the midst of that, people still saw somehow, I guess it's the Holy Spirit, that I was different. That there were things that were still different about me, and they knew that I wasn't quite like them. But I did a lot of the same things because I liked it. Because my flesh liked it. But it was sinful. It was wrong. And I had to repent of that. But the Holy Spirit the whole time was nudging me, pushing on me like, dude, you got to stop this. You say you're a believer and you're going to church every Sunday, but you're doing all these things that the world's doing and you look no different. You got to set your mind on things above. So God has not only given us this amazing gift of this brain that is able to do great things in our bodies and great things to change our thoughts and our minds and everything. He's also given us victory through the power of the Holy Spirit because Christ is in you. This is where the rubber meets the road here. Because all along we've been talking about, okay, I need to focus my brain. I need to do this. I. Guess what? He has given you a helper. Jesus has given you His Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, I'll just read the verses for the sake of time. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. Oh, really, Jesus? Which ones? Everyone? I can't do that. That's hard. That's impossible. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. The Greek in there makes it so that you know that that other helper is of the same kind. Another of the same kind. It is part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And this, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's saying the Holy Spirit will be in you. I'm not going to leave you alone. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Holy Spirit knows everything about what God wants us to do and is reminding us. He tells us, we're not alone. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus has promised us as believers that we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will point us to truth, so we don't have to believe the lies that maybe we've been struggling with for a very long time. Maybe some of these lies go all the way back to your childhood. Maybe, you know, you didn't have a lot of friends and you feel rejected. So now as an adult, when people maybe say something or don't invite you to something, you feel rejected again. And those old feelings come back. They are lies. Holy Spirit is going to point you to truth. And he promises that we'll be adopted. We are adopted as sons. And we can cry, Abba, Father. You know, I looked up that phrase, Abba, Father. It's an Aramaic phrase. And I've been told, yeah, it doesn't quite mean that. But I couldn't find anything else but where anywhere else where it said it's an Aramaic phrase, Abba, meaning like respectful but still more informal way of saying Father. And so we can cry out to God as our Father. We could cry out to him. And we could lift up prayer to him because we are adopted as children of God. Let's read chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. Actually, I'm going to go back to 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You want to know how? You're a son of God. You're led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's not about all the good works you do. It's knowing and that the Holy Spirit is in you. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You can know. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We can cry out to God. If you have put your faith and trust in Christ, you are his child and he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to pray to him. He's given you the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to correct you, to convict you of sin, to do all these things in your life. And then he says, you could talk to me. Come talk to me like your father. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. I love the book of James. If you ever want to do a good study, book of James is a good place to start. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In other words, when you ask God for something, believe it. Doesn't mean he's going to answer it the way you want to. He's going to answer it the way that's best. But he will answer it. Don't be double-minded. Don't be unstable. Don't be, okay, God, I want you to help me have victory in this area of my life, but I'm going to keep walking the way I want to, and I'm not even going to give it over to you. Don't be double-minded. It's like a person just, you ever go out in the ocean or, you know, in the waves and you feel yourself being just moved back and forth? Be a stable-minded person, focused on God, believing Him at His Word. And remember and know that we are heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17 says, we are heirs, fellow heirs. That just amazes me. Not only did we get eternal life, not only did we get to be forgiven of all our sin, and He wants us to walk with Him and have a relationship with Him. Not only all those great things, but we also become co-heirs with Jesus, who is the one who made the way possible. My goodness, we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much, we're going into Thanksgiving week. We have so much to be thankful for. If you can't think of something you're thankful for, and you've given your life to Christ, man, you have a ton to be thankful for. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Peter wrote, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Born again to a living hope. We have hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that we don't deserve, by the way, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and it's kept in heaven for you. It's kept in heaven for you. It's Jesus's. We get to partake in Jesus's inheritance. What? Really? And we walk around like we have, like, man, this life stinks. I can't wait till Friday. You know? I can't wait to get home tonight because I can't even stand being at my job. Look, I talk to a lot of Walmart cashiers now. It's kind of funny. And I'll ask them, oh, what time do you get off? And they're like, oh, I can't wait to get off and everything. And I'm like, you know, if you think about how many hours you spend at your job per day and look at your life and how many hours of your life you spend at work, you're wishing your life away. Enjoy every moment of every day. You have a lot to be thankful for. Verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It's God's power. Look, I want to look back at verse 11 of Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this. I didn't highlight this, I don't think, well enough. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And God tells us that when we put our faith in Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are in, the Holy Spirit is in us. If He dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That is power like nothing we can imagine on this earth. Atomic bomb pales in comparison to the power of the Holy Spirit in you. The biggest rocket to send people to Mars, if we ever go there, I don't know why, but if we ever go there, it pales in comparison to the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Godhead living in you. Man, we have so much, you know, I think back to like superheroes and they draw on their powers and stuff. We have a far greater power than that. Holy Spirit, that's a superpower right there. Well, I just want to challenge y'all. If you do not know Jesus, if you have not surrendered your life to Him, today's the day. Surrender your life. Confess, believe, and be saved today, because you're not guaranteed another moment, another second, another breath. I'm seeing too many young people pass. I volunteer as a chaplain with the coroner's office. I actually go on death scenes and minister to families. And I've seen a lot of people my age and even younger unexpectedly die. And their families are just reeling. But the fact is this. You could say all you want, oh, I have time to surrender. But you don't, because you don't know when. And then you're in eternity. You're there, and it's too late. Today's the day of salvation. Believer, examine your life. Examine your life. Are you losing the war of the mind? Are you believing the lies that the enemy's throwing at you? Believing the lies of the world? Believing the lies that are all over TV, movies, commercials today? Confess your sin to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your sin and believe the gospel. Believe it. Set your mind on what's true. Submit to the Holy Spirit. That is power. Holy Spirit is power that we all have available to us in Christ. I'm going to close reading Ephesians chapter 3. I read this morning, and just this prayer that Paul gives in this letter, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You may think you know it all or know what's going on. The love of Christ surpasses it all. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, that's the Holy Spirit, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are not stuck. God has given you the gift of a brain that is powerful to affect your emotions, your body, your behavior, everything. But He's also given you more powerfully the Holy Spirit. And when we submit our minds to the Holy Spirit, when we submit our problems, when we submit our struggles to Him, oh boy, He takes over. And He gives us the ability to turn away, to do what's right, to walk with Him, to be more Christ-like, to grow in our walks. I'm going to close this in prayer. Our worship team will come up and play, and we're going to have a time of response after that. I hope and I pray that you will respond in some way, whether it's in your seat or up front. If you don't come up, that's fine. But do business with God today. If you know Him as your Lord and Savior, but you're stuck, rewire your brain. You have the ability to, and focus on the things that are above, not on this earth. Focus on the promises of God, the truths that He has for you, the goodness, the love that He has for you, and the power through the Holy Spirit. But if you don't know Him, today's your day to surrender to Him. Because you don't know when your last moment on this earth will be. You just don't know. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, I do thank You, Lord. I thank You, God, for who You are. I thank You, Lord, for, Lord, thinking of us, for Your power, for Your the strength that You give us, the encouragement that You give us, the hope that You give us through Your word, Lord. God, we know that You have given us a brain that has the ability to rewire itself, to focus on positive things. But Lord, more than just positive thinking, help us to set our minds on the Holy Spirit, on the things that are above, not on earth. And Lord, help us to walk with You. Help us to have victory over these things in our lives. Lord, work in us mightily. Lord, I pray for those that have not surrendered their lives to You. Maybe they don't even know why. Maybe they just think they're good. Good enough, it doesn't matter. Maybe they don't even believe God. I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in their hearts today to show them the truth of your word, to show them how much you love them and how much you don't want them to perish. God, save their souls today. Lord, be with us. Help us, God, to walk with you, to have victory over all the stuff and junk in our lives, God. Lord, help us to correct our thoughts and focus on you. Lord, we thank you, God, and we praise you, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' powerful and holy name we pray. Amen. Our staff will be up here to receive you. If you want to pray, please come on up. If you're a lady that just wants to speak with a lady, my wife, Gail, and Miss Jackie will be available for you as well. Come on up and spend some time with us.